No, Brother Duffy didn't pay me to be short so that he can go home and watch the game. But we're going to be short nonetheless. Amen. Acts chapter 20. Just going to read verse 32. Of course, you know, Paul has got his speech going on here. This is a farewell address to the elders at Ephesus. He's rehearsed much of what he has been doing and what he has done. And he continues his speech now after letting them know about the grievous wolves coming from outside and the people coming from the inside. He said in verse 31, I want you to watch and remember, be careful. So in other words, remember what you were told, remember how you were trained and what you should do. And now he's about to make his final address, if you would, towards the end of this speech. And read verse 32 with me. Here we go. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Father, bless now in the next few moments that we have together, Lord, and as we begin to look at the remainder of Paul's speech. Help us to glean a blessing and, Lord, be encouraged about what is happening here. May you get all praise from our lives. Lord, we thank you again for the precious souls that you brought to us this morning. And help us to steward those souls, Lord, to train them. And, Lord, do as much as we can for the gospel's sake to help them to be witnesses of the grace and the goodness of God. Bless in our hearts and our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So Paul's giving them this speech here. He's towards the end. And let me say this. For all of you that are teachers, all of you that are preachers, all of you that are instructors in any way whatsoever, whether you're a teacher in the school or whatever, after you instruct your students, is there really anything else you can do other than pray for them? There's really not a whole lot you can do for them. You can't do it for them. You really can. And that's pretty much what Paul is about to do here. When as preachers and teachers of the Word of God, you and I deliver a message, the only thing that we can do is commend our listeners to God. And that's what Paul is doing here. That's what parents do for their children when they leave their presence. And that's what Paul is doing here. Notice he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. We can instruct, we can teach, we can preach, but we cannot do for our children, nor can we as preachers or teachers do for the congregation. We can't. When they leave, guess what? It's on them. One of these days, G2 is going to get out of the house. Guess what? It's going to be on him. Antoinette's already out of the house. It's on her. Amen. Now, can she call back mom and say, Mom, how do you bake this souffle? Of course she can. You know, can G2 call back and say, Dad, can I borrow some money? Of course he can't. Amen. That's different. But once we commend them to God and put them out there, guess what? It's on them. And Paul has poured his heart out to them and told them what he wanted. And now it's up for them, commending them unto God and the word of his grace. The word commend means this, to present someone or to deposit someone or something like money for safekeeping. You and I basically commend our money to the bank. We put our money into the bank for safekeeping and for results. What's the results? Interest. And what else? Security, safekeeping. We're not going to put it under our mattress. Then what happens? We have a fire. You're going to burn up in the house trying to get your money out. Amen. And so those days of putting the money in the safekeeping of the mattress is done. So we take it and we commend it to the bank. We deposit it in the bank. We say, keep it for safekeeping. At least I hope y'all don't put it under your mattress anymore. Because if you do, somebody may break in and steal your mattress. Amen. And so the word means to present, to deposit, to commit, or to set before. Now, why would Paul commend them or present them or deposit them to God and his word? Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Amen. Because notice what he says. And now, brethren, after saying everything he said, this is much like a parent would say, I commend you to God. Parents would say something like this, you're on your own. You're on your own. Or, all right, I'm committing you to God. This is between you and God now. I've told you what you need. I've told you what you need to do. Now you're on your own. You've got to go out there and put it into practice. Amen. And so why would Paul commend them to God? Well, the first reason is, notice he says, and now, brother, I commend you to God. He would commend them to God because God is omnipotent. By the way, young people, what does omnipotent mean? Big word. What does that mean, Faith? Not all knowing. We'll get to that one in a minute. G2. All powerful. I'm commending you to God because God is all powerful. Notice what he says. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. I'm presenting you to God. Why? Because God is all powerful. God could protect them when Paul was not around to ward off the grievous wolves. Were the grievous wolves out there? Yes. Were they going to come in? Yes. And what is Paul saying? I'm not going to be there. But guess who is going to be there? God's going to be there. Hey, parents, we do the same thing for our children. Hey, we commend them to God. We say, hey, look, God is omnipotent. God is all powerful and God can take care of you. Amen. By the way, parents, don't you sometimes wish you had all power to keep your children safe when they're out of your sight? Don't you wish you could just get over there and have these big loving arms where if a bandit comes up, you can squeeze the bandit. Amen. You know, I'm afraid that if I had omnipotence, I would hurt somebody trying to protect my own. Like a mother bear would with the cubs. Amen. The mother bear is like, look, that's my cub and I got claws. And guess what? I will strike you in half. Amen. You don't mess with the cubs when the mother's around. You don't mess with the cubs when the mother ain't around. Amen. Because she'll find you. And so I think that if you and I had omnipotence, we would probably hurt somebody. How many of y'all love your children? How many of y'all would beat off the bad guy? And how many of you have omnipotence would probably not curve the omnipotent power you had? Why? Because then that would be one less bad guy. And that's the way we think. It'll be one less bad guy. Aren't you glad God didn't work that way? God knows exactly what to do. But I believe that if we had this, we wouldn't know how to handle it. We probably hurt somebody in the process of protecting our own. God has much better control. So as a preacher, as a teacher, as a parent, we've got to do the same. We're not all powerful. So we've got to say, God, they're in your care. I can't do this. I'm not strong enough, but I know you can. And so as Paul is leaving, he's like, look, I didn't told you everything I can tell you. God is all powerful. I'm going to leave. And remember what I said. I'm commending you to God. He's going to take care of you. And not only is it wise to commend him to God because he's omnipotent, it's wise because God is omniscient. Now, what does omniscient mean, Faith? All-knowing, amen. He knows it all, amen. Now, this one I put down here. God would know what was going on with them at all times when Paul didn't have a clue to the activities of the church or their intents. God would know. Now, parents, this is where I gotta caution us. Would you like the capability of having omniscience when it came to your children? Why, some already know where I'm going with that. I don't think you do. I don't think you want to know what your child is doing all the time. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Sometimes. Think about if you knew, you'd be beating your kids all the time. You'd be beating them for their thoughts. I know what you're thinking. Come here. You know, your mother ever whoop you for something and she said, I know what you were thinking. You didn't know what I was thinking. What I was thinking wasn't even remotely close to what you beat me for. Because if you knew what I was thinking, you would have beat me until I died. Amen. And, yes, Diana. Amen. And oftentimes that is true. I got down here. God would know what was going on with them at all times. And with his all power and with his all knowledge, he could work in their lives when Paul couldn't through his power and his knowledge of what they were doing. If you and I have omniscience, I don't think we would like it. Amen. I had this. What if we had the capability as a parent to know all that our children did? I put down that would be scary. My mom and dad would have a heart attack if they knew everything that I did. And if they didn't have a heart attack, they would probably have heart failure or high blood pressure or heartache or headache or all of the above. Amen. If they knew all that I did. Now, I did quite a bit that I got whooped for. And there's quite a bit that they know that I didn't get whooped for. My wife knows quite a bit of what I did. But if my parents knew everything I did, I'm sure Paul is saying, I really don't want to know everything that you're doing. There's too many of y'all. There's only one Paul, and there's a bunch of y'all. So I'm going to commend you to God. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. I'm going to commit you to God. He's omniscient. He knows what you're doing. I only know a few things. I submit to you that as parents, I don't think we want to be omniscient. I know I don't. Maybe on certain things. Amen. And think about how you were as a child. You want your parent to know all that stuff? Maybe Joshua. Shane's like, no. I don't. But God is the one that could handle it. God is much better. God won't stress out like we will. Amen. Diana mentioned she would have stressed out knowing what happened with her son. My parents would have stressed out at some of the things that I did. I mean, they would just have a heart attack. I mean, my dad thought I was the best kid since sliced bread. Had him food. Amen. He told my son, he said, Greg was a good boy. I'm thinking that. Ding. And back on, I'm saying, if he only knew, he wouldn't. He'd retract that statement and put it in the file cabinet way in the back. But what happened? He didn't know some of the things that I did. And I'm ashamed of those things. And I'm glad he doesn't know, because I know it hurt his heart. Paul is saying here, look, I'm going to commend you to God, because there's only one me. There's only one heart that I have. And you know, you got to answer to God eventually. You don't answer to me. And so when I leave here, I've told you everything that God told me to tell you. And I'm going to leave you in God's care. As parents, that's the only thing we can do. We can't say, you know what, I'm all powerful and I'll get you. We can't say I'm omniscient and I'm going to get you. We got to say, I'm going to commend you to God. And that is what Paul is doing here. And the third one, of course, you already know, as parents and teachers, we must do the same. We don't know all things. Commend them to God. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. And then number three, why do we want Paul to commend them? And why should we commend them? Because he's omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean, young people? Joshua? Everywhere, all places at all times. God is everywhere at all times, and he would be with Paul as well as with the elders at Ephesus. And so that's good to be able to commend them to God in his omnipresence, because Paul is saying, as I go, guess what? God is with me. But as I go, he's also with you. I have God's omnipotence on my life because he's all powerful. And I have God's omniscience on my life just as well as on your life. But I also have God's omnipresence. He's with me just like he's with you. So I can leave. By the way, I can be away from my children and trust God to work in their lives and through them. We had a family talk last night at the dinner table. Once I knew that these children were coming, I said, hey, look, children. I said, there's going to be some people coming in here tomorrow. I said, and I don't know what their lifestyle the background is. I said, I'm counting on you guys to be an example to show them what we should do at church. I said, don't boss them around. Don't tell them what to do. I said, but just show them what to do. I said, stand up with your hymn book. Stand up with your Bible. Say, hey, there's a Bible right there if you don't have one. Hey, there's a hymn book. Hey, this is how we sing. I said, you don't want to boss them. I said, but show them what we do. I said, because they don't know. They're coming to church. And guess what? Somebody's got to show them the way. I text my leaders and I say, hey, look, leaders, we've got these kids coming. I text my teachers. We got them coming. Why? I want them to know that there's some people in here that care for them and that are going to embrace them and bring them in and let them know this is how things are done without being bossy to them, but just letting them know. Amen. And so Paul is letting them know, hey, this is going to help you. God can be with you as well he is with me. And by the way, I put this, parents, imagine if we could be every place at the same time. We would go crazy. Why would we go crazy if we could be every place at every time? Joshua? You'd see everything. You would be absolutely overwhelmed. Yes, Layla? Like they asked God, huh? Amen. Say, do this and do that. Amen. If we were omnipresent, we would go crazy trying to figure it all out and make sense of it all. What's going on over here? What's going over here? We would actually be beside ourselves. Aren't you glad you're not God? Amen. But sometimes I say, man, I wish I was omnipresent. I wish I was everywhere. I wish I was omnipotent. Now, I do wish that sometimes I could have some power. Amen. I wish I was all knowing so I could know everything. You really don't. There's only one person qualified to handle that. God. And so Paul said, I'm commending you to God because he's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And as parents and as teachers and as preachers, We must do the same. We can't be everywhere. So he commends them to God and his omnipresence. And so Paul commended them to God and the word of his grace. His omnipotence is there. His omniscience is there and his omnipresence is there. He's able to keep them safe, and God can keep those whom we love safe as well. By the way, should we even commend our foes to God? Yes. Why? He knows what they're thinking. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He can thwart their advances against us if he so wishes. And he's everywhere. He can protect you whilst he's beating down on them. Amen. And by the way, God is a much better beater than you and I. Amen. God can beat him down a whole lot worse. I like what David said. David said he beat him like dust. Dust is pretty fine. Amen. That's pretty fine. And so God can keep those that we love better than we can. And so Paul is trusting them to God, and we should do the same with our loved ones and our friends and our foes too, because he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. And so then notice the verse again. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. So he says, not just to God, he says, and the word of his grace. Why, Paul? He says, able to build you up, and it's able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And so then Paul commended them to the word of God's grace. What's so good about God's grace? Everything. He says, I'm commending you to God. It's awesome that he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, but also I'm going to give you the word of his grace. You don't only have God, you've got his word. Man, think about that. You know, our children, when they leave home, oftentimes they know they have our word. We're going to do what we said we're going to do. I hope so. But then they have us as well. Paul is saying, you know what? I'm going to leave you in God's care, but you got God's word as well. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Amen. He said, I'm commending you to God, but the word of his grace, you have something far greater. You've got his word, and his word will be operational in your lives long after I'm gone. Amen. I don't know about you, Pastor White, but when I went down to boot camp, those letters I was telling you about, those things got me through boot camp. I got to read those letters and got to thinking about my honey, and I thought, woo, 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 I can't wait to get home. Hey, I went to boot camp 10 days after marriage. What bonehead does that? Oh, you did too? Oh, I'm sorry. 4 days afterwards, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I was dreading the date I was going to boot camp. I said, I think I made a mistake. Amen. I signed up early then. Then the wedding plans was all made. I thought, man, I got to go to boot camp 10 days afterwards. Maybe I should have did something else. I was on the delayed enlistment program where you make a date and you put it down that way. And so I thought I was safe. And then I thought, I'm getting married. And I'm going to boot camp. I'm going to be around a bunch of boys. After getting married, I said, I don't think I want to do that. Call up your recruiter. Is it too late for me to change my mind? Can I come like a month later? Nope. 10 days. Those letters that my wife wrote me got me through. I got to thinking about her being back in New Jersey. I'm going to rescue her and take her out of New Jersey. Away from all of that, she's going to marry Prince Charming. Although her parents thought I was Prince Harming, amen. They said, what is you? You're stealing our daughter. Who is this person? I'm Prince Charming. No, you're Prince Harming. We ain't have that. And so I was ready to get her, amen. So Paul says, you know what? I'm going to commend you to God. I'm going to commend you to the word of his grace. Why? His word is, it's able to build you up. So we're going to look at several things here real quick. We won't finish this tonight. But grace has been defined as God's unmerited favor or his loving kindness toward us. Or they say it's the acronym, great riches at Christ's expense. I like this definition the best. God's ability to do God's will. God will give you whatever you need to do his will. And he'll give it to you free. Free of charge. Isn't that a blessing? Think about it. If you want your children to do something, aren't you going to give them what it takes to do what they're going to do? Now, Faith, bless her, she made a birthday cake for mom. She did it all by herself. G2 makes cookies, does it all by himself. Joshua eats up all the sweets, does it all by himself. Huh? Oatmeal, pancakes, grits, all that. Amen. Do it all by himself. Amen. And eats up the sweets too. He's proud of it, too. I'll eat it all up, amen. If you're not careful, he will. Amen. Hey, what am I saying here? If we're going to do something for God, God is going to give us what we need. And so Paul commended them to the word of his grace because God's word has strengthening power. He says, able to build you up. Paul could not stay with them to continue building them up, but God's word would stay long after Paul's departure. Some of the best memories that I have of home are the talks that my mother and father gave me. They sat me down. They said, boy, these are some things that you need to watch out for. Boy, these are some things you need to do. God, these are some things that you need to protect yourself against too. Boy, when this happens and this happens, you make sure you go in that direction. Boy, watch out for this type of a woman. Boy, watch out for this. And don't do some of the best talks were the talks that my mom and dad sat me down and had. And I can remember that. You know what they did? They committed me to the word of their grace. They said, this is what we know about life. This is what we know about experience. And so we're going to commend you to God and our word. Get on out there. Now, they didn't know about the word of his grace, but they knew enough about life and experience to tell me some things to watch out for when I got out there. And guess what? What they told me, I saw. And you know what that did for me? It made me hold on to those words that he gave me just that much more. Why? I didn't get saved until several years later. And so I was out there in the world with a brand new wife, a brand new career, brand new friends that were soliciting me to do things that I had never done, never seen. And I thought, now what did mom say? She committed me to the word of her grace. What did she say to watch out for? Oh, that. Oh, that person. Oh, that thing. Oh, she told me to watch out for that. And you know the ironic part about it? Many of the principles I found in the Bible after I got saved. Many of those principles that she gave me. And so he said, I'm doing that. Go over to Colossians 2:7. And notice what Paul would say to the Colossian believers here. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7. Colossians chapter 2. And he says down there, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Why did he say that? Verse 6, as ye have therefore what? Received Christ Jesus the Lord, so do what? Walk ye in him. How? Rooted and built up. What did Paul say? I'm commending you to God and the word of his grace. Why? It's able to build you up. He said, now be in Christ here to the Colossian believers, build up, rooted and built up in him and established in what? The faith, the foundational truths of the word of God. Then he says, as you've been taught, abounding therein, going above what you need. Amen. What am I saying? Paul wanted to commend them to God and the word of his grace. Why? It could build them up. Go over to Jude 1:20. Jude says the same thing, echoing what Paul said. Jude 1:20. What is Paul talking about? He says, look, I'm leaving. But I know one thing that'll stay with you, and that's the word. Jude, and notice Jude 20 there. And notice what he says. But ye beloved, doing what? Building up who? Yourselves on what? Your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. What did Jude say? He's echoing Paul about building ourselves up in the faith. What did Paul say? He said, I'm commending you to the word of God's grace because it's able to build you up. Not only is he omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, his word has the ability to build you up. Paul could not stay with them, but he could put them under the word of God. And long after his departure, you know what he had? The word of God. Long after I left my home and still, you know what I have? The word of my mom, what she told me and some things that she encouraged me about life. You know what will never get old is this book. You know what truths I'll always hold on to? The truths in this book. Some of the things that my mom has told me, I joke with her about that to this day. I said, Mom, remember you told me this? And it happened just like you said. Mom, remember you shared this? It happened just like you said. And you know what my mom would say back to me? Boy, I'm glad you were listening. She said, sometimes I wondered about you. I said, well, I wasn't that thick, Mom. You know? She said, sometimes I wondered if you was even listening. I said, Mom, I took it in. And I said, you know, at the time you told me, I really didn't want to hear it. I didn't really want to hear it. I said, but you know what? I said, I'm glad you told me. I said, because now it happened just like you said. And I'm glad I paid attention and I listened to what you were saying. Hey, young people, listen to your parents. They know a lot about life. They have lived longer than you. They have experience. They know people. They know character better than you. I thought I knew better than my mom. She would talk about some of my friends. I'd say, Mom, you don't even know them. And just like she said, it turned out just like, I said, you don't even know them. But just like she said, that's how they, and I thought, how in the world does she know? She lived. She lived life. She lived long enough to know character. She knew how certain people act, and she knew what the end result was. A lot of the guys that I hung out with are in jail, in prison, or dead. And the ones that aren't dead, in jail, and in prison, are on drugs. Pastor White can go back home. I'm sure he knows exactly like I'm talking. Brother Neil, I'm sure you know some as well. But I had a mother that cared. What's that?
Absolutely.
I had a mother that cared enough about me. Children, you don't know how valuable the guidance of your parents is at this age. I know you think your friends know more than what your parents know, but you're gravely mistaken. They don't. Your parents love you. They care about you. Paul loves these Christians here and these elders at Ephesus, and he's trying to pour his heart out to them, saying, look, I'm commending you to God. And I know he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, but I'm also commending you to the word of his grace. It can build you up. If you just listen to it, the word of God can work on you and bring you through long after I'm gone, if you would just listen to it. And by the way, that's why it's important for us to commend our children to God's word and to let them know this is the book that you need. That's why it's important to encourage our children to read the Bible in the morning. That's why I love the fact that we have the Patch program where they've got to get in their devotions every day. I love the fact they have the opportunity to get into the word of God every single day for encouragement. Why? It can build them up. And guess what? It can do a whole lot more than what you and I can do long after we're gone. And so praise God that Paul said, look, these things can help you out. Amen. And the next one here, we're not going to have time to finish it, but I'm going to give it to you. God's word has securing power as well to give you an inheritance. God says, he says down there, go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter number 20. Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul says, now, brethren, I commend you to God. Why? He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He said, and to the word of his grace. Why, Paul? He said, it's able to build you up. It's got strengthening power. Why, Paul? He's got securing power. He's able to give you an inheritance. God has secured our inheritance. We just have to believe it and receive it. By the way, go over real quick to 1 Peter. Hold your finger there. We're going to come right back there. 1 Peter 1:4. This is how Peter says it. 1 Peter 1:4, dealing with give you an inheritance. Notice what he says down there. To and what? Inheritance. What is it? Incorruptible. What is it? Undefiled. What is it? And that fadeth not away. What is it? Reserved in heaven for you. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school about my popsicles. You know what I got reserved at home in the freezer? Popsicles. They're reserved for me. And Tasha, when she comes by, she gets access to them too. Amen. And what happens with the popsicles? When I go home, I know where they're at. They're reserved for me. And I can go to the freezer and I can go in there and I look in there. Yeah, buddy, it's there. Hey, guess what? Paul says, I'm commending you to God. He's got some inheritance for you stored up in heaven. It's reserved for you. It's untouchable. It can't be there. It can't be defiled. It can't be corrupted. It's waiting for you. And so he says, just hang in there. This word can build you up, but it's building you up to be an example and testimony to others, but you've got something reserved. And so he says, God's word has securing power. God got an inheritance waiting for you, reserved in heaven, just like I got popsicles at home reserved for me, waiting in the freezer. Amen. Pastor White, Mr. White probably got some of that Haagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream reserved for them. Ms. White, she's shaking her head. You know, I'd send Kenny out to the store and get some. Sometimes we're here, we're fellowship, we're talking, and Pastor White said, I better go. I got to stop by and get my wife her ice cream. Hey, it's reserved for her. Hey, it's got her name written on it, Haagen-Dazs. Amen. Hey, what can I say? Paul said, you've got something secured for you. You've got an inheritance. You've got some strengthening power here. Word of God can build you up. Amen. And then the last one, God's word has sanctifying power. He said, it's among all them which are sanctified. Guess what sanctifies us? The word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. By the way, a jewel of a verse is John 17:19, because when it comes to being sanctified, we're in good company. John 17:19 says, and for their sakes, Jesus is speaking, I sanctify myself. that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We ain't got good company. Jeremiah 1:5 said it this way, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The Christians at Corinth were sanctified. Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Jude 1 wrote this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified. Hebrews 2:11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. So we've got some good company when it comes to being sanctified. Guess what? We're going to get to heaven. Inheritance is waiting for us, is reserved. It's for those that are being set apart, sanctified unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God's got the omnipotence, the omnipresence, and omniscience to keep us. We don't want to have that ability. But Paul says, as I leave you and as I go, let me give you some parting thoughts. I'm commending you to God. God can keep you where you need to be. His word can build you up. It'll strengthen you. Make sure that you understand that he's got securing power. He's going to give you this inheritance. This reserve is waiting for you. And God's word got sanctifying power. Now, were they going to go through struggles? Yes. Were they going to have the grievous wolves come anyway? Yes. Were they going to be attacked from without? Yes. Will our children go through the same? Yes. But guess what? It behooves us to commend them to God. He does a much better job. It behooves us to make sure that we know, that we tell them about God's strengthening power. It can build our children up. His securing power. Hey, you've got something waiting for you in heaven. And I like what Sister Hall was telling me about the young man that got saved. He said, you know what? I'm confident that I'll go to heaven now. I'm confident. Brother Hall took time to show him the word of God. When I talked to him on Thursday, he's like, well, I don't know. I gave him the gospel. And I said, I'll follow back up on Saturday. Didn't get a chance. But now he said, I'm confident. I've got something reserved for me. God's word. Why would Paul commend them to the Lord and the word of his grace? Strengthening, build you up, securing, inheritance, sanctifying, set you apart. Omniscience, omnipresence, we're in good company. And Paul's going to begin to go on his final defense, letting people know, hey, look, I didn't come here asking for anything. I coveted no man's apparel. When I came to you, it wasn't about me. It was about me giving you the word of God. And as he finishes up this speech here, it's a moving speech, and they're sorrowing at the end because they're not going to see him anymore. My encouragement to you is as you get the opportunity for your children, commend them to God. Commend them to God. Commend the people at your job to God. You can't control them, but God can. Your friends, even your foes, commend them to God. Say, God, you're omnipotent, you're omnipresent, you're omniscient. You can do a much better job with them than I can. But I know as for me, your word for me has that strengthening power. Your word can build me up. As for me, your word can secure my inheritance in heaven. As for me, your word can sanctify me, and it can do the same thing for my family and my children. And so I'm going to keep it before them. That's what Paul did, and that's what we have to do. Keep it ever before us. Amen. Think about that as you go throughout this week, how important the instructions are that Paul is giving to them. Now, mind you, Paul said, I'm not going to see you probably anymore. How would you handle someone that you would never see again? Give them something that they can't lose. The encouragement of the word of God. They can't lose with God. And that's what we should do. Commend them to God. He's able to build them up and to strengthen them. Amen. Father, thank you so much for Paul's encouragement. Thank you for the ability that the word of God has. And Lord, I pray that as we look into our own lives and as we commend our children to you, and Lord, we commend people at our jobs and people in our community and even people's doors that we knock on, Lord, that we would commend them to you because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, you can save souls. You can win people. Lord, you can do all sorts of things. And so help us as Paul is commending the brethren here to God. Lord, we would commend others to you and to the word of your grace, Lord, is able to build us up, is able to keep that which we have trusted in our inheritance, and is able to sanctify us as well as others. And help us to rely upon it, to trust in it, and to continue being led by your word, Lord. As we leave here tonight, help each and every one of us, Lord, to lift up that person that we know needs to be lifted up, or commend that person that we know needs to be commended to you, whether it's a child, or whether it's a coworker, whether it's a friend, whether it's a foe, Lord, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a parent. Help us to commend them to you and the word of your grace, because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we ask. Thank you so much for the encouragement that Paul has given, and help us to follow it. Practical guidance, Lord, in our own lives. And thank you for the truths that we have all learned as well from others that have trained us and taught us and commended us, knowing that you could do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Work in our midst, God. Give us traveling grace and mercies in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Y is going to come up and share what we've got going on. Ladies, we'll probably give you one last chance to pray with Mrs. Dawson on Wednesday so you can ask any final questions about the meeting and clear up anything that's going on there. And don't forget, men, we are still going out at 7:30.
Thank you again for the encouragement from the Word of God. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. You know how God is omnipotent, everything, all the time. Just in light of the things that are going on.